The Cholos Podcast is back. My name is Cesar Hernandez, and I'm here alongside Francisco Velasco. And today we're going to go through Cholos' embarrassing loss to Pachuca. We're going to talk about former players who are doing much better outside of Tijuana. And then also talk about Cholos' very small. I gotta say this more, small chance of making the playoffs. Francisco, how have you been, man? Are you ready for today's episode?
How's it going, Cesar? Yeah, doing great. After the León game, I kind of had the stomach flu and fever a bit, but feeling better now, up to speed.
Even after last night's game?
Yeah, not feeling great after that loss last night. But yeah, ready to do the podcast, ready to get this underway.
All right, we got to open with last night's game, which I'm sure didn't make anyone feel good. I'm sure some people, it was equivalent to having, you know, a stomach flu right there. Cholos had got a 4-0 loss to Pachuca. It was a Copa MX quarterfinal. What went wrong? Like, I think that's the first question that I think a lot of people are thinking about, is just what went wrong in that game?
Just the effort by the players, it was off. There's no spirit in the players. The defense, I mean, obviously the defense was the biggest problem. You go to that penalty. Yes, it was a soft penalty, but Aguirre Garay did pull on Jara. And really was a mistake by Aguirre Garay, silly mistake by him. And then as well, you know, that goal by Honda. I mean, absolutely embarrassing, humiliating, disgraceful. I mean, he ran through the midfield, ran through the defense, and just, you know, chipped it over Lahoud to, you know, put the icing on the cake. Yeah. I mean, all respect to Honda, but like, just the Cholos defense, I mean...
And the midfield. And it was the midfield, man. And it was just...
Ran through the whole team, basically.
It was so emblematic of just, like, the morale problem that, you know, that's going on right now.
Yeah, it epitomized, you know, the whole situation with Cholos the past few weeks. This is the type of game you expected after all the problems. Not the León game. This was the type of game you expected.
Yeah, and it was just... I mean, if you haven't already seen that Honda goal, like, go... Please find it. I'm sure Francisco already tweeted out. I tweeted out. You'll find plenty of it online. I know he's a fantastic player. He's, you know, someone who has extremely good technique and ball control. But there was just at least three or four Cholos players who just let him sneak past him without putting in much effort. Do something. You know, it's
very surprising as well, because a lot of the players have, you know, they've been aggressive throughout the season, like Musto. At least knock him down or something.
And that was a problem over the season. We talked about it. It's just like, oh, like, you know, they're being a little too aggressive. They have, you know, they've been creating too many fouls, but not even one guy there was willing to do something. But speak about the morale. I think a big part of that too is just, and we were talking about it before we recorded the podcast. I mean, the morale must have been pretty low before the game started. And then after that, a soft penalty. I do think it was a deserved penalty, but I think it was a soft penalty against Cholos. And then they allow that first goal. So I can understand why they were struggling emotionally there. But to get a penalty of your own afterwards and miss, the game was over after that. Honestly, that it was just the game was
horrible, horrible. You know how Bolaños took that penalty as well. Basically a pass to Alfonso Blanco.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Damian Perez, he was really, really off in this game. Yeah. Not aggressive at all. Raul Lopez just had him on that wing, you know, getting those crosses in. And you cannot give that type of space to a player like Lopez just because of his lethal crossing ability.
Yeah, something that we've all known about. I know he isn't maybe the player that we all wanted him to be when we saw him back with Chiefs. I know he's had flashes of brilliance, too, with Pachuca. But, yeah, I think he's one of the best crossers in the league. And when you give him that space, when you give him those opportunities, he has that pace, too. He feels almost like, I know a lot of Chivas and Pachuca fans already know this, but, you know, he feels more like a winger than a right back. And when you give him that space, when you give him those opportunities, he's going to not only beat you with some of those runs, but also with some of those incredible crosses.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. You know, Damian Perez, he was one of the players that had the most fouls throughout the regular season. And all of a sudden, he doesn't even go after Lopez in this game.
Yeah. And then I think, for me, what went wrong, you talked about it, was just the defense. Although I do think about that, I mean, I know Diego Torres, the interim manager for Cholos, is happy and he's more comfortable with a 4-man back line. But to me, it almost felt like one player was missing, and maybe that Cholos were a little unaccustomed to going to a 4-man back line after working with a 5-man back line.
Yeah, also, Donati had been a decent player. Like, he deserved at least a chance, maybe in this Copa game.
Yeah.
You know, he good at going forward as well, and good on those set pieces. Good at marking inside the box. Maybe could have made a difference in this game.
Yeah, I agree. So I think, you know, people want to probably hear our thoughts on, you know, the controversial calls. So I know it's easy to say, like, well, if this would have happened, that wouldn't have happened. But if those controversial calls were avoided, and I'm speaking about the soft penalty, which allowed Cholos' first goal, and then the second goal that Cholos allowed, where which looked like it could have been offside.
Well, it was slightly offside.
I
but very slightly, so you can't really slate the ref.
It was a close call. It was a very close call. But if those calls were avoided, do you think Schultz would have had a chance for a win here?
Not at all. I mean, they missed two penalties. Yeah. The effort wasn't there.
Yeah.
To win the game.
No, I agree. It was just the, I think it was one of the worst performances of the season. And I think
it was the worst performance of the season. Definitely,
it could have easily been a 5-6-0. You know, Pachuca, you know, they looked so much more comfortable with their possession. They looked so much more, I mean, just better than Schultz. And Schultz were struggling.
It was very similar to the early days of Eduardo Codet. You know, the team didn't have any chemistry. They couldn't build anything going forward. The midfield was absolutely dead.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the defense. But yeah, going forward, it was just, it didn't look like they were going to get any...
No creativity at all in the midfield, which was a big, big problem.
No, they looked really, really predictable. All right, so if you were the interim manager, if you were Torres, what would you have done differently? I think, before you answer, I think I would have put on, started Quick instead of Lucero up top. I give credit to Torres for giving Lucero an opportunity. Maybe there's clearly something he sees there in Lucero, but I think that that's a player who hasn't been, you know, a part of the starting 11 for most of the season. I think Quick has proven to be much more effective up front. So I think I would have started Quick up front, and I also would have gone with a 5-3-2. I'm not sure if the 4-4-2 has been working, the 4-4-2 diamond, I should say. So I would have gone back to something that the players were a little bit more comfortable with. So I think that's what I would have done. Well, what do you think you would have done?
Yeah, 5-3-2 as well, because, you know, 4-4-2 statistically hasn't worked at all.
Yeah.
You know, this is the formation that the players have been comfortable with. They've gotten the good results with this. But also, you can't really slate Torres because the team got a really good result with the 4-4-2 formation against León.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true.
And, you know, he basically put the same team, except for Lucero. And you can't really blame him. I mean, who would have thought, you know, virtually the same team would have put this type of performance?
No, that is an excellent point that, you know, they did look quite well against León with... And let's see, like, if we're looking at the starting 11 from the León game and from the Copa Mekis game, it was essentially the same other than
Lucero,
which was the only... Yeah, no. So I think, no, that's an excellent point. But I do think that...
Also Nunez. I think Nunez should have started the game.
Yeah.
You know, Aguirre Garay is awfully out of position. Awfully out of position all the time.
Yeah, but that's the risk you take with him. The risk is he pushes the ball forward. He takes those chances with those high pressuring runs, but at the same time, he is a very risky player, and it's almost like you're playing with only three defenders. Yeah. And if Damian Perez is also making a run up there, then you only have two guys back there.
Which is weird because both of them stayed back in this game, and that still didn't make a difference. It actually made things worse. Weirdly enough.
All right, so I mean, I think I'm sure some diehard Cholos fans probably recognize this, but I didn't. I feel like I didn't hear enough about this. Maybe it's because it was during the midweek, but this loss, I mean, I know there's still one more game left, so I know that fans still have hope, and we'll talk about later why you should still have a little bit of hope, but I mean, it's a very minuscule amount of hope. You know, but is this loss more detrimental to Tijuana's roster management than it appears?
I would say so. I mean, it was absolutely humiliating.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at that Honda goal. I keep on seeing the Honda goal, but like...
No, but that was a perfect example. I think you got to bring it up because it is the perfect example of what went wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this loss is absolutely humiliating to the team. Yes, there's not much coverage about the game because it was a midweek game, because it's a Copa MX game. But yeah, Cholos fans should be definitely worried about this loss. You know, basically the end of the season right here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you just said it. It's basically the end of the season for Cholos, barring some sort of incredible miracle that happens this weekend. Like, it's just, this is it. You know, I think their last chance for... You know, salvaging, their poor recent form was by doing well in the Copa MX, and they just embarrassed themselves. That's just the simple truth. They struggled. Pachuca was clearly the better side, and just like we said, the morale was just, I mean, it was awful with the team. It was really, really awful.
Also, for Torres, this might bring the end of his tenure at Cholos. Not necessarily after this game, but it might mean that he might not get a chance to manage the team after the season.
I mean, we were talking about this before we recorded the podcast. So what do we think are the odds are that Sunday's game is going to be his final one with Cholos?
I would say pretty close to 99%.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it too. We were just, when he was announced as interim, I was like, all right, so what are his goals here? One was to potentially make it into the playoffs. I mean, we talked about it too. It's partially not his fault just because he went in there in a very difficult situation. The other goal that he should have had in order to really... you know, gain a position, like a more concrete position with the organization, is by doing well in the Copa Mekis. And based off of yesterday's result, I mean, it just doesn't look like...
Yeah, because the playoffs were really in his control. You can't really slate him for that. But the Copa Mekis, I mean, full control right here. And just this horrible, horrible performance. Also, also a big deal why this is a detrimental loss is if they won this game, they could have had another home game at the Estadio Caliente against Atlante. And that's a big deal for fans, you know, their home game, at least the last home game.
And
last
hurrah. That would have been a very winnable game. I think that's that's something that needs to be talked about too. That would have been a very, very winnable game. And regardless of whether they would have won the Copa Mekis title or not, it would have been big to make the final. And it was a very easy path after winning this game, after potentially even sneaking through with an after penalties or something. But it's just, yeah, I think especially against an Atlante side, which is the only representative left from the Ascenso, they could have easily gone to the final if they would have won this game. Instead, they just made fools of themselves last night. All right, so Xolos are clearly struggling right now. I mean, they're, it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. They didn't have a good result yesterday, but a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot, but some, you know, some specific former players are doing quite well, you know, specifically players that left over the summer. So, you know, Francisco, which recent departures for you from the team do you think are having the best time right now?
Yeah, definitely Aviles Hurtado and Milton Caraglio. I mean, Hurtado, 10 goals, 2 assists, and he finally got that call-up to the Colombian national team, which is a huge deal for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then Milton Caraglio, he had actually had a pretty average season, but then he became the hero of the Clásico Tapatío, scoring 2 goals against Chivas, also kind of knocking out Cholos out of the playoffs with those 2 goals as well. And yeah, you know, he's a hero now with Atlas, scored those 2 goals in that huge game against Chivas.
Those 2 goals that Milton scored are dedicated to every Xolos fan that was not happy with him when he was over here.
Yeah, a lot of people complain about him, but he's a pretty clinical finisher. Yeah. I'm sure they could use somebody like him, you know, get those crosses in this season. You know, Bo hasn't proved to be that type of target man necessarily.
Yeah.
A different type of striker. Not saying that Gustavo Bo's a black player, definitely.
No. They're just different players. Bo, I mean, especially in recent games, he's been kind of drifting. Yeah. He's been dropping back, and I think that's
good. Look back at the long game, he was more of a creative role. He even took some corner kicks as well, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, but I think it's good for him to be working harder like that. But then you think of like how Milton Caraglio plays. Milton doesn't do that. He is, you know, people make fun of him. They'll say like, oh, he's like a tronco. You know, he doesn't move.
Stays in the box.
He stays in the box. But that's such a Xolos could have easily used someone like
that. Also underrated from him is he has pretty good distribution skills as well.
He's had 2 assists so far this season. Yeah, so like he goes up there, he can win headers. You know, he's really good at the aerial game. He's also, like you say, he's really good with distributing the ball with his back to the net, you know, providing some passes. So I think that, I mean, we've already kind of gotten into this, but which foreign players, and I guess we forgot to bring up someone like Guido Rodriguez, who I think he hasn't been living up to the hype that some of us have had, specifically me. I've had some pretty – I've hyped up the player a lot since when he first arrived.
Yeah, it's 2 red cards in the Liga Mekis, red card in the Copa Mekis as well.
Yeah. So he's still kind of he's still a key player for Medica. He's still going to the playoffs, you know, unlike the rest of Xolos' roster.
And it'll be interesting to see how he performs in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be crucial for him as well. But yeah, but – which one of these players could have had the biggest impact for Xolos this season? Which one of these players could have potentially pushed them into the top 8 as opposed to them, you know, more than likely finishing at 10th place?
You actually have Guido Rodriguez. I think he was the most important player from the Clausura 2017 season. And, you know, Musto, he's really more of a defensive player, while Guido is defensive, but he also helps going forward. And I think Xolos are really missing that in the midfield. I mean, that really, you know, would have helped with the creativity going forward, as well as, you know, recovering more balls in the midfield as well. And yeah, I think Musto just definitely has not done the business in that role as opposed to what Guido Rodriguez brought last tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think for me, Guido, and also Aviles is just...
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you just see what Aviles... You think about Aviles playing at that right wing position. Maybe, you know, taking what Iturbe has been doing recently and where...
I mean, imagine what Aviles could do with Bo up top. That would be incredible.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking about. It's like telling Bo, it's like, don't worry, Bo. You go up there. You don't need a drop back. You don't have to go to a creative role. Sit there. You wait for goals. You know, you can wait for the, you know, he's a strong player. You know, wait for some of those headers. And just have Aviles just running like crazy behind him.
Incredible.
That would have been really, really incredible.
Maybe even a guy like Paul Ariola is missing as well.
Yeah, Paul too, actually.
I mean, he could have filled in right now in that right back slot where, you know, Aguirre Garay's kind of struggling a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul's been, when he played as a right back last season, he actually did pretty well.
No, he did do very well.
And, you know, you kind of need that player, you know, for players like Joe Corona, for chemistry as well. Yeah. You know, a lot of players were comfortable with him already, like players like Malcorra,
yeah.
Joe, Guido. And, yeah, I think Parilla would have also made a difference with this team.
I guess anywhere on that right wing.
Especially
when
you consider, you know, how bad Iturbe's been.
Yeah. I'll say anywhere on that right, whether it be in Iturbe's position, whether it be in Aguirre Garay's or Juan Carlos Nunez's position, Parilla would be an improvement, a much needed improvement.
Yeah, you know you're going to get that effort from every game, 110% effort from every game as well.
Yeah, so that's another player who's missing, But despite all these problems, guys, we're going to talk about the fact that there is still, like I said, I mentioned there's a small.
You just gone for like 10 minutes.
That's for the rest of the podcast. I'm just going to say small, and then I'm going to say, just kidding, they're not going to the playoffs. Okay, no, there is a small chance that they're going to the playoffs. So here's
minuscule,
minute, you got it, microscopic, but here's how it looks like right now. So if you're looking at the league table, right now three teams already have a spot guaranteed in the playoffs. That's Monterrey, Tigres, and América. They're at the very top. Then at 4th, 5th, and 6th, you have Morelia, León, and Toluca. Xolos can't catch up to them because Xolos only have 21 points, and Morelia, León, Toluca all have 26. So that leaves Necaxa, Atlas, and Cruz Azul who are above them. So looking at the fact that Xolos are in 10th place, that means that Xolos need to get past two of these three teams, which doesn't seem that bad, right? But when you consider goal differential, that's when things start looking quite difficult for Xolos.
Yeah, so you look at all those missed opportunities, that penalty, that Bo missed.
All those tiny little, like for example, that penalty that Bo missed, like that would have been, I know it would have only pushed him up to a -3 goal differential, but that's what it's going to come down to. If Xolos going to win this Sunday against Toluca, there's no guarantee they're going to the playoffs, and it is going to come down to goal differential. And more than likely, like Francisco just said, it is those tiny small moments where they could have sneaked in one or two more goals that could have pushed them into the top eight.
Yeah, that really makes a difference at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's the thing which also, okay, so they need to sneak past at least two or three of the teams. So that, again, that's Necaxa, Atlas, and Cruz Azul. Now, if two of those three teams get a draw or win, Xolos are officially out. That's that. No matter what happens on Sunday, by the time that Xolos step onto the field on Sunday afternoon,
we already know, right? Yeah.
We will already know what their fate is going to be, and more than likely, it's not going to be good because, like I said, if at least two of those three teams, Necaxa, Atlas, and Cruz Azul, if they get a draw or win, Xolos are out. And let me go through really quickly who Atlas, Necaxa, and Cruz Azul are facing. So, and when they're going to be facing them. So on Friday, you'll have Atlas versus Pachuca. And then on Saturday, you have Necaxa versus Morelia and Cruz Azul versus Veracruz. So once again, if Xolos lose or draw on Sunday, even let's say that somehow a miracle happens. Somehow Necaxa loses 10-0. Atlas loses 10-0. Cruz Azul loses 10-0. Here's the thing. Even if somehow the soccer gods just set this up perfectly for Xolos, Xolos still need a win, and a big win, probably. I know I said 10-0. There's not going to be a 10-0. They still need a very big win to offset that goal differential. So even if it's perfectly set up for them, if they get a loss or a draw on Sunday, it's impossible for them to go into the playoffs. So going a little bit deeper into this, we've got to look at the goal differential, because it's the big thing that we're talking about here. Necaxa has a +5 goal differential. Atlas has a +4 goal differential, and Cruz Azul has a -1, and Xolos have a -4. So kind of, you know, I know this is kind of crazy. We're talking a lot of numbers. Might be a little confusing here, but I'm going to go over this again. So what it means is that Xolos need essentially for Cruz Azul to lose, and they don't have to lose heavily. Just a loss for Cruz Azul and a win for Xolos can potentially have them sneak past Cruz Azul.
Definitely, so that's definitely possible against Veracruz. I mean, Veracruz has been a solid team, maybe tough away from home, but it is possible. Definitely.
Yep, it is most definitely possible. But the problem here is Necaxa and Atlas. Like I said, Necaxa has a +5 goal differential. Atlas has a +4 goal differential. So more than likely,
yeah, you got to hope for Pachuca to display a similar performance that they did last night against Atlas.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's going to be tough at the Estadio Jalisco. I mean, Atlas is in good form right now. So yeah, we'll see how that game goes. Should be a very good game as well. Yeah, one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so you gotta. So if you're a Xolas fan, this is what you gotta wish for on Friday night. You need to wish that Pachuca beats Atlas by a 4 or 5 goal difference. Maybe three. You know, three at the very least, three.
Repeat last night's performance.
Repeat last night's performance. Give Honda the ball. I know it's gonna be hard to root for Pachuca after they just beat, you know, Xolas 4-0. You gotta root for
hoping
Pachuca.
Honda could do a couple more Maradona moves in there.
Yeah, exactly. And then with Cruz Azul against Veracruz, you don't have to wish for a one-sided result. Just a win. Just a win for Veracruz. That's all you gotta wish for. Because Cruz Azul already has a negative goal differential, so it'll be easy for Xolas to catch up to them. So if that happens, that's great. But let's say that Atlas ends up winning, or that Cruz Azul ends up winning, then you gotta hope for Necaxa to lose pretty terribly against Puebla, which
that one really I see really, really unlikely though. Yeah. I mean, Necaxa is one of the better teams defensively.
Yeah, that's true.
And both teams actually need a tie, so you know there could be something there. You know, that's a really tough result right there. I think that's the toughest game, and I think really Xolas fans should bank on the Atlas Pachuca game more than anything.
Yeah, no, I agree. So once again, bottom line, sorry if this was really confusing. People are saying, like, I don't know what Cesar was just talking about. I'm trying to write all this stuff down, and it's confusing. He's just saying a bunch of random numbers. Bottom line, Xolas need to surpass two of those three teams, and those three teams are Necaxa, Atlas, and Cruz Azul. And if at least two of those three teams get a draw or a win, Xolas are officially out. And to be honest, I think we could already count them out. I think if we're being real here, we can already count out Xolas from the playoffs. I mean, they had a decent run in the middle of the season. It looked like, I mean, we talked about in the last podcast, you know, a few weeks ago where they were in fourth place. It looked like they were going to be one of the guarantees.
Shoo-in, definitely.
Exactly. But, you know, as seen during the past 2 weeks, things have gone downhill very, very quickly. All right, so let's talk about that game on Sunday. Let's give a little bit of a preview here. And Francisco, I'm going to ask you a question here. So should Torres experiment? You know, should he maybe call up some other backups? Should he maybe, you know, try out some youth players in this game? Because more than likely, it's not going
to
matter.
I mean, in theory, he should. But if I was him, I wouldn't do it just because I'm trying to keep my job. I'm trying to get that win.
Yeah.
You know, trying to prove that I'm the right manager for next season. So I don't think he will. I think he'll, you know, basically keep the same group of players that he's been using in the last few games.
Yeah, more than likely that's probably what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe somewhat of a similar starting 11 that we saw last night. I do wish that maybe some names like a Henry Martin, maybe like a Michael Orozco, just, you know, guys who have been there for a bit, who haven't really been getting a lot of minutes. I really do hope that they're given an opportunity. But and if
you
I
got, you got players like Bo, Bolaños, Niturbe, and Musto, even, you know, they still need minutes in the Liga MX. Some of them have adapted well, but, you know, players like, especially like Bolaños and Niturbe, really need those minutes as well.
Yeah.
You know, to get more accustomed to the league.
Yeah, no, I know that's an excellent point as well, especially if you know, they're trying to get ready for next season.
Also build chemistry within the players as well. There's been some chemistry issues. More likely than not, there are some players that are going to be shipped out after this season. But if they keep, you know, some of the same players, you know, you need to build that chemistry. Yeah. You know, Malcora's probably going to stay, you know, so he can work with those type of players as well. You know, that's pretty important as well.
All right, so this is a little bit of a tangent here. I mean, we're still focusing on this game from Sunday. But one thing that comes to mind when I keep thinking about this game is, you know, that I'm going to wake up on Sunday and I'm not going to be really excited for it because it's not going to matter. More than likely, it isn't going to matter.
More likely than not, yeah.
I'm going to be thinking about the UEFA playoffs. I might be thinking about some other matches. And I might be thinking about the Soccers. I'm pretty sure they play this Sunday. I got to check their schedule. I'm wearing a San Diego Soccers shirt right now.
Shoutouts to Nate Abura.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is, should all the games be on at the final week? Should they all be on at the same time? Is that something that we would like to see? Personally, I would like to see it. I know it might be kind of chaotic trying to keep track of all the games at the same time, and it would be complete.
Tweeting out about five different games.
Yeah, just like, oh, goal. Just constantly tweeting out goals. But
imagine the Twitter feed.
That'd be incredible. Maybe that's the only reason why. There's like one guy and like who runs the social media for Liga MX is just like, you know what, guys? No, we can't do this. Yeah. I already have a hard enough time. You guys aren't paying me enough. All right, I would like to see. Would you want to see that? I'm a big fan of that.
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, in theory, it sounds like a nice idea, but I just want to watch all the games, to be honest. Or as many games as I can. You know, I complain enough when there's like two games at the same time and I have to watch one on my laptop and another one on the TV. So, yeah, you know, not for me, just because I really like watching as many games as I can. You know, and that Cholos game, in theory, it wouldn't really be exciting anyways.
That's true.
Just because they have to get so many goals. You know, Pachuca has to win by a lot. And, yeah, I mean, also another thing, you know, people say also to avoid match fixing and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, who knows about that type of stuff as well. But, you know, to me, you know, I like the way it is, to be honest.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair as a fan, especially because we do complain about that. Sometimes we're like, oh, there are four games on at the same time. Oh, wow. And then you would have just...
Nine games.
Yeah, just a couple more than four. All right, so let's look at the game again. Who is a key player, maybe a player that you're keeping an eye on from not only Cholos, but also from Toluca?
Yeah, so for Cholos, I have Alejandro Guido. You know, he was decent in that game against León, not the best performance against Pachuca at all. And I'm hoping he could get, you know, redemption. You know, he is a player that can generate creativity. You know, you're looking back at the game against León, he had 3 out of 4 dribble attempts, successful dribble attempts. He won 9 out of 4 duels. Wasn't dispossessed at all. 39 passes and a nice 79% pass accuracy. 3 of 5 long balls as well. You know, he had a nice game against León. And I'm hoping, you know, he could, you know, get redemption because he had a really bad game against Pachuca. Yeah, Guido's a player that I would like to keep an eye on in this game. And for Toluca, I have Alexis Canelo. 9 games as a starter and 5 goals. He's been one of their best players so far.
A player that could have gone to Cholos.
Yes, definitely. Supposedly, he was already, you know, linked with the club, or he already had an agreement with the club, but just they couldn't get an agreement with his agent, which is kind of disappointing because he's been having a really nice season for Toluca. Really good distributor of the ball. Great passing ability. You know, he's quick, he's skillful, and he's a really hard worker as well. So Alexis Canelo is my player to watch for Toluca.
For me, I'm going to go with Guido's a good one because I think that although, you know, he isn't scoring goals, he's the kind of guy who's going to be scoring goals, providing like crazy assists. It's very clear when he has the ball that he makes, you know, really smart decisions. He's really clever with his distribution. I think he's a very hardworking player. So I would be interested to see if he kind of keeps that up, because I think he quietly does very well for Cholos in the midfield. But I think the guy that I'm going to keep an eye on is Bo. I think he's going to get the start here. I think I'd like to see a strong finish. You know, I would like to him give a little bit of a hint of what he could provide next season. You know, I think that. I know it wasn't exactly the best. I know that this season will, you know, people like Cholos fans will want to forget it. But I do think when you look at his current goal tally, if he can get another one or two in on Sunday, I think that'd be very promising for Cholos. I think that's very, very promising when he's gotten all the amount of goals that he has so far this season. So I'm keeping an eye on Bo. I think, and then Toluca, you mentioned Canelo. That was one of the guys that I had. I'm also keeping an eye on Sambuesa. I mean, he's a part of an experienced roster. I think Toluca, they probably wouldn't surprise me if, on average, they're probably one of the more oldest rosters in the league. And I don't know, that guy provides a lot of assists. He's very good with his distribution as well. You know, he's a playmaker. He's very hardworking. He's tenacious, I should say, instead of hard work. He's a very tenacious player. And I think that that's someone that Cholos are going to have to keep an eye on. So I say Bo and Sambuesa. Now, here's a question here. I mean, if somehow, you know, the stars align and everything works out, Cholos can potentially on Sunday, you know, sneak into the playoffs, and the only way they can get through that is with a win. So how can they get a good win against Toluca?
I mean, they have to score a lot of goals, you know, for this game to even matter, and I think a lot will depend on Malcorra and Guido generating play.
Yeah,
their distribution throughout the game, I think that's going to be vital. I think that's the key to success in this game.
Yeah, I think for me, I think you win this game in the locker room. I've said the word morale like 7 times so far. I think it says a lot about the current state of the team. I think Torres, if he wants to, I mean, as you mentioned, if he wants to hold on to his job, wants to hold on to his position, if he wants to be a candidate for being the manager next season, and I think that if Cholos want to end the season, regardless of what happened on a good note, I think you have to win over the locker room.
Would it be that surprising to see Musto like get in a fight with another player in this game?
I have no idea. He's already done it twice so far. He's already done it twice so far. It could be a third. That would not surprise me.
That would be
one of the least surprising things. So we'll see. Yeah, like I said, I think you have to win this game in the locker. I think you have to provide some momentum, some motivation. Thor is gonna have to do something incredible. I don't know. Show them, like, have them watch. Like remember the Titans or something before they step onto the field. All right, Francisco, you know, in order to wrap up the show, we got to go through our predicted starting 11 and our predicted score for this Sunday's game. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, for the starting 11, I have a 4-4-2 diamond. I have Lahoud in net with Perez, Aguilera, Juan Carlos Valenzuela, Juan Carlos Nunez. Then have Musto as the defensive midfielder, Malcorra and Iturbe on the wings. I have Alejandro Guido as the more attacking midfielder. And then I have Gustavo Bow and Miller Bolaños up top. And then for the score, I have a 2-2 draw. I think it's going to be an exciting game, but I think Toluca will put up a good fight because they're also trying to get a better position in the playoffs. They have 26 points right now. That'll get them to 27. And yeah, they're not just going to give up, you know. So, but I think Cholos will also, you know, put up a good fight as well, get a couple goals in. Yeah, so an exciting 2-2 draw with Toluca.
I'll go with mine. It'll be, I think it'll look like a 4-4-2 diamond. I think you have Toño net. I think you have Nunez at right back. You have Valenzuela and Aguilera as the two center backs. Damian Perez as the left back. Musto as the defensive midfielder. Malcorra on the left wing. Iturbe on the right wing. Joe Corona as the starting attacking midfielder. Bo is one of the strikers. And the other striker, I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe I'm saying this just because I want to see it happen. I want to see Henry Martin get a start. I think that'd be pretty cool to see, especially since Scholes aren't really fighting for much here, you know. And I'm thinking if they're not fighting for much here, if they're just fighting for, I don't know, just having ending the season on a good note, and just to show that, you know, the team isn't exactly going to continue to embarrass itself after Pachuca, it would be cool to see someone given a try who hasn't really, you know, been doing much on that. He's just been sitting on the bench, and I think it would be cool to see someone, especially who's been involved with the club for as long as he has, and I would like to see him be given a start.
You're going to Toño. I'm very surprised he wasn't in that game yesterday.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by that as well.
I mean, he had a good performance in that penalty shootout, or outstanding performance. He was the hero of that game against Morelia.
Even after making the mistake, he became the hero.
Yeah. And yeah, I was very surprised not to see him last night in that game as well, which is kind of odd, really.
It is.
He had been that, you know, consistent starter in the Copa MX.
Yeah, so. Completely agreed. And I think when we go at the prediction, I'm going to go with a 2-1 for Scholes. I think they're going to fight hard. I think that they know that they need a good result here. So I'll go with a 2-1 win over Toluca. I think Toluca are going to put up a good fight too. But Toluca have been kind of, I don't know, they've been on and off.
They've been dropping in the last few weeks.
Yeah, they've been a little on and off. So not entirely convinced by Toluca, even at home. So yeah, but I'll go with a 2-1 win. And let's see how Scholes can close out the season. And more than likely, that is going to be their final game of the regular season, which means that after this podcast, even though I think this is only our fourth podcast.
Hopefully not, because that would be incredible. That would be absolute. I mean, the storylines would be incredible.
Yeah, I would love to come back and like podcast so much more. But more than likely, because Sunday's game is going to be the final one, that means that we're going to have the final Scholes podcast of the season next Thursday. We're going to take a few weeks off, but we'll come back at least a week or two before the next season starts. And the season starts in early January. So we'll probably be back in like mid to late December to give you all the news regarding transfers, whether it be the manager, whether it be
there's some like crazy news breaks.
Unless some crazy news breaks out, then we'll definitely come back. But yeah, next Thursday we'll give you a full wrap up. I'm really looking forward to next week's podcast. Kind of like go through like our whole thoughts the entire season. Maybe even have like some fake awards that we can give out, like the official Scholes podcast, like best midfielder of the season, or like, I don't think we should give the worst midfielder of the season or worst defender. That's a little harsh. Maybe
the Dundee Awards.
We'll get the Dundee.
Little office reference for you guys right there.
Of course, we're going to host this at a Chili's. But guys, thank you to everyone who listened to this. Also, thank you once again. Thank you to Soccer Loco. We are currently at Soccer Loco headquarters. As DK likes to call this room, he calls it the Loco Lab, which we have slowly turning into our little podcast center. They've been extremely nice. They've been extremely, you know, helpful here. They provide us with some equipment. They provide us with this room. They provide us with this new mic. So hopefully this sounds a lot better than previous podcasts, because previous podcast, I was recording it on my phone. So I don't know if the quality was this good, but now we're using this USB mic, which is, it looks a lot more expensive than, I don't know, everything I own. So thank you once again to DK. Shout out again to Soccer Loco for providing this with this opportunity. It was cool once again to to walk past the signed Joe Corona jersey. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know if they're going to sell. Maybe they're probably going to frame it because they have a lot of really cool framed jerseys.
There's a Maradona signed jersey.
It's pretty cool. It's definitely pretty cool. So once again, thank you to DK, and once again, thank you very much to Soccer Loco, and thank you to everyone for listening to today's episode. Let's see what happens with Cholos this weekend. You know, it would be nice for them to end on a
good note. Yeah. After all the problems,
after all the problems, and like we haven't even discussed. I mean, I guess it's been some time since then, but we haven't even discussed, you know, the stuff that happened a couple weeks ago regarding.
Yeah, all that stuff kind of died down, right? Like all the financial problems, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure it's still a problem, so we'll see what happens with that too. Let's see if any other, you know, reports surge or anything.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting to see.
So I'm sure that fans and also the team and also roster and the management and everyone alike would like to end the season with a win. So for all you Cholos fans out there, keep your fingers crossed. And until next time, we'll see you on the next edition of the Cholos Podcast. Thanks, guys.